If he heard you, lift your hands and give him praise. Give him praise. I don't get bored at the word. Say that to yourself. I don't get bored at the word. There's no time when I feel I know everything. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. The word of God is not boring to me. Say that to yourself. Say that to yourself. Hallelujah. Someone here, you know that God would have you be very highly involved in the work of the ministry. For some time now, you've known. God wants you to be very active in getting men saved, in getting men filled, getting men healed, and getting them to grow up spiritually. You've known that for a while. In fact, people have told you. You've heard God tell you that as well. In fact, you've seen it from God's word that this is what you should be doing at this moment. But you've been fighting it. Okay? You've been fighting it for a while. What I see is about 5 years. You've been fighting it for some time now. You've known that God wants you to do ministry. You know. Okay? Are we together? You know. But you've been fighting it. You've been saying no, no, no. Like Jonah, you know that the will of God is here. But you've taken a boot of your own plan, pursuits, and desires. Please let that stop as much as possible. Thank you. You've been on a boat of your own plan, your own pursuit, your own desires, going in an opposite direction of what God will have you do. This is what God says to you. Dust yourself up and start what I've told you to do. You've been playing for too long. Okay? You've been playing for too long. You've been, and this is not even an inferiority complex now. It's not somebody who knows that God wants them to be in ministry but feel they are not worthy. Okay, that's not it. This is somebody who knows, you know, who he is in Christ. And he knows that I should be doing ministry. But you've been running. You've been running. Because in your mind, you just feel that, let me do a few things first. Let me do a few things first. You are following your own plans for your life, your own pursuits for your life, for your own desires for your life. God says to you today, walk in obedience. Okay? Do what I've asked you to do. Because the truth is, you will find much more fulfillment, you will find much more accomplishment in obeying God than working in your own plans for your life. Did you get that? You will find much more accomplishment, you will find much more fulfillment in doing what God will have you do than walking in the way of the world, than walking even in your career, in your academics, in your relationships, you won't find the fulfillment that you will find in obedience to God. Okay? So God says to you to walk in obedience. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe that was for someone, and I believe it helped you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So back to the word now. Are we ready? Are you sure? Can I see your hand if you're ready? Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've been looking at a few things, right? And we've been looking. Hallelujah. Amen. We've seen quite a number of things. Looked at man. Looked at the nature of sin, right? And we've seen so far that a man is not born a sinner, right? And a man evolves to that state by his own conscious effort. So a man gets to a sinner by his own conscious activity. You know, it's the activity of man. Do you understand? Sin is the activity of a man. It's a man that commits that activity that is now known as a sinner. Do you understand that? It was not imposed to any man, you know, without his free will. So that nature comes to a man by his free will. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to look at a text now, a chapter of scripture, which I believe will help us. Who can guess? I think you should know from what we are looking at. It's one of the texts that they used to say that, you know, a man is born with sin. Adam's sin made all of us sinners, you know. Word me. Ha! Hey! Hallelujah. You people are intimidating me. Who said, what do you mean? What do you mean? What does your mean? Explain to me what it means. Do you know something I don't know? Why are you looking at me and smiling? Like, you're giving me this later. Mm. You know what we are saying. You know what they are saying. You... Hallelujah. Here we go. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Very important text. Very, very, very important. Hallelujah. I'll be using the New King James Version for this teaching. So, if you are using KJV, your condemnation is with you. Already. Amen. Hallelujah. The authorized KJV. Which one is not authorized? Let me move on. Some people are getting angry already. What was your one with KJV? Okay. Romans chapter 5. Let's start from verse 12. Hallelujah. I hope you know I'm joking. Do you know I'm joking? Because that's our offense. I'm serious. That's our offense starts. In some quarters, is it not those people that hated KJV? That, even I said, on Facebook, that's where some pastors are talking about KJV. Some pastors. Pastor, KJV. Can they write their own translation? They should go and do their own translation, that's our offense starts. Okay? So, the way I am, know when I'm joking. You will need, that's why I said, you should pray that the eyes of the Lord, that you may get my jokes. Because the way I am, you, if you don't, let's run. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, right? And death through sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Death through sin. And it says, and thus death spread. Okay? Law students, this is not spread, you know. Taylor. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Now, the word, before that, let me say this. That when you look at this text, if you have a preconceived notion in your mind, the next thing in your mind, you know, there's a way you can be reading a text and you'll be seeing what you think it is saying. Right? Imagine if you grew up and you were taught all your life that Adam's sin is what made us sinners. You know, by looking at this, you will not bother to study at all. You will just say, oh, by one man saying that, okay, oh, sin entered. You will just be very absolute and say that, okay, sin here is the sin of Adam. And the sin of Adam entered into the world and death spread automatically. Right? Right? Remember I looked in the morning, how some people take scriptures out of context. I know, say things that are not in the Bible and try to use it. I remember someone reached me from South Africa. I was helping her to review one of her articles. She writes articles. So she based the entire article. The article was on prayer. And she based it on Hebrews chapter 4. Which says that let's come boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive grace in time of need. And in her mind, she thought that to come boldly before the throne of grace means prayer. Because, you know, you can't blame her. That's what she's been taught. Remember when we're growing up, when we're much younger, they will say, when we want to start prayer, do you remember? Brethren, have you? Let us come before the throne of grace. You know, let's just come before the throne of grace. That we might find grace. In the time of need. So, brother, do you have a need? Sister, do you have a need? Come before the throne of grace. Because at the throne of grace, you will find grace. Hallelujah. For your need. So, when you are coming, the coming is your prayer. And then, why are you smiling? And then I had to explain to her that if you read Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 3, before you go to Hebrews chapter 4, you won't say that. Hallelujah. If you even read Hebrews chapter 5, you won't say that. Because the writer of Hebrews wrote to an audience that had three people. He wrote to believing Jews, unbelieving Jews, and the unconvinced Jews. So when you read the text, you have to pay close attention to find out who exactly is he referring to, because in some portions, it says some things which can only be applicable to the saved Jews. In some portions, it says some things which can only be applicable to the unbelieving Jews. In some portions, it says some things which can only be applicable to those who have heard the gospel, but are not sure. Unconvinced, right? So when he says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that is a call for salvation. Hallelujah. The throne of grace there would refer to what? Salvation. The time of need there is now, it's a bad translation as well. Time of need there means, in the Greek, it means the time when it's still available. Okay? Or the accepted time, that is, come and receive salvation now that salvation is still available. That's what the writer of Hebrews was saying, not prayer. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And unfortunately, she had based that entire article on that one verse. So you know what that means, right? You know what that means? When you base your whole entire teaching on one faulty verse, you have to cancel everything and start again. Now, you know, it's painful. Do you know? I know what I'm telling you. There's some text that in scripture, I was teaching this, word man. When I found out it was wrong, I had to cancel the old teachings, everything. Have you seen some teachings that they call your hot teachings? You know, these are your hot teachings. You cancel everything because you found out that the scripts you were using were wrong. Hallelujah. It's being humble enough and being honest enough to admit when you are wrong. So it was painful. She now had to cancel all the entire article and answer all over. And I said, okay, let me help you. This text that you used is not talking about prayer, but I will now give you text. It's me now. And I gave her texts, plenty, that talk about prayer. Hey! You don't use a text that did not promise you what it said to try to get what it did not promise you that it said that it did not promise you. Something like that. Just, amen. And I gave that text. And you know there are texts that talk about prayer. Ah. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14, right? This confidence that we have in verse 17 according to his will, we know that he hears us. Hallelujah. James chapter 5 verse 14, proud, righteous man, fearless mode. Because if you ask anything in that day, my name, you know, Luke chapter 18 verse 1, men ought to pray and not faint. Different text. So don't use a text that does not say what it's saying to now, you know, try to twist it to mean what you're saying. So that's why in Bible interpretation, honesty is an important virtue. Okay? Be honest. Be honest. There's no ego anywhere. Amen? Why are you scared that if you correct your sermons, people will leave you? Or if you correct your sermons, you know, people will say, he's not a word man because he corrected what he said. No. Hallelujah. So let's look at this together. I said all of that to let you know that you cannot look at Romans chapter 5 with a preconceived notion in your heart. Okay? You would have to study it well to understand what exactly Paul was communicating to those he wrote to. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world. Now, the word entered here in the Greek is the word esekomai. Esekomai. E-I-S-E-R. C-H-O-M-I-A. Ersekumai. It means to come in. It means to come in. Okay? That is, whatever is coming in was never there before. Did you get that? Write that down. It's part of the definition. What is coming in was never there before. Okay? A foreign element. Did you get that? You know, some say that sin started in heaven. When the devil sinned, then it entered into the world. So it was delivered into the earth. No. What it says here is that before this time, you never saw sin. Hallelujah. Did you get that? It says sin entered. This is referring to a first time entering. Like when we say launching. This is the first launching of sin in the scriptures. Hallelujah. So, sin began here. Did you get that? Did you get that? Hey, did you get that? Okay, referring to a foreign element. Hallelujah. It says, sin entered into the world. Now, the word world here is the word cosmos in the Greek. K-O-S-M-O-S, cosmos. It actually refers to the inhabitants of the earth, not the world, like the world. You know, I can say world and I can mean planet earth, right? And I can say they are of the world, referring to men, right? So here, it refers to the inhabitants of the earth, That is men. Hallelujah. Did you get that? It says, and death through sin, and thus. Now, thus is very important. Because if you lose sight of it, you lose sight of the entire chapter. It says thus. The word thus in the Greek is the word O2. H-O-U-T-O. O-2. H-O-U-T-O. The O has an accent at its top, like this, something like this. The last O. It means in this manner. Okay? In this manner. Or, according to this description. Or, keeping with the manner spoken. Hallelujah. So he says, just by one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Now, in this manner, death spread. Did you get that? Now, what manner? Is the manner that just as through one man sin entered, or that death came through sin? Did you see that? Hey, did you see that? I should come again. Oh my God. Is it saying that sin, that, okay, just as through one man sin entered, okay, into the world, is that the manner that is referring to when it says thus, or death through sin? Hey, let's think together before I move on. Death, sin entered into the world through one man's sin, right? Right? Then through that sin, death was now seen in man's activities, right? So, what, in essence, in this manner, death now spread. So, what is he referring to as the prototype for death spreading? Are you looking at what you are reading? Is it that because one man sinned, death in this manner now spread upon all? Or death came through sin, and in this manner, death now spreads on all. Hey. See if I'm looking at you. Are you looking at what you're reading? Hallelujah. Amen. So obviously, in this manner, will be death through sin. Because the next statement he says is that death spread upon all. Right? So it lets you know that since death came through sin, right? Hello? Right? So in this same manner, death will now spread. So if now that one man is Adam, right? So Adam sinned, there was sin in the world, and that sin brought death to Adam, right? Now in this manner, okay, in this manner of Adam, what we saw in Adam, when you now see other men as well, okay, when you see sin, in the same way when you saw sin in Adam, you saw death. When you see sin in them, death will also spread to them. That's clear now, right? Right? It's clear. Amen? Now, let me show you something. The word spread here in the Greek is the word dekomai. Dekomai, D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-I-A. D-I-E-R-C-H-O-M-I-A. Dekomai, that's the word in the Greek. It means to pass through. To pass through and spread. Okay? To move about. Okay? It's never an instant action. Never. It is a gradual process. Okay? So, in this manner, death gradually passed on all. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? If it does not make sense, tell me, I can further explain it. Does it make sense to you what I just said? Adam sinned, right? Adam sinned. Just calm down. Adam sinned. In Adam's sin, we saw death, right? Now, in the same way Adam sinned and we saw death, we will now see death spreading on all men the same way. Right? Right? And that spreading of sin, pardon me, is not going to be instant, right? It's going to be gradual. Is that clear? That's everything I said so far. Is that clear? Okay. Can I move? Okay. Then, now that word dikomai in the Greek, it's the word that was used in Acts chapter 10 verse 38. When he says that, Jesus was anointed of God who went about doing good, healing all. What went about there, or the phrase, pardon me, went about there is dekomai in the Greek. In Luke chapter 5 verse 15, it's also used for the fame of Jesus. It says the fame of Jesus went around. Now, obviously, when Jesus Christ went around doing good, did he go everywhere immediately? Imagine Jesus Christ, he just said, oh, Jesus Christ is in Jerusalem, is in Rome, is in Samaria, is in Nigeria, is in Galilee. Did that happen at once? When he went about, obviously it was gradually, right? He went about doing good. So obviously the word is not an instant word, right? In fact, look at the fame of Jesus as well. Did the fame of Jesus go everywhere immediately? Did they have the internet back then? I know right now their command might not apply because we have internet. So once somebody just makes a post on Facebook and sponsors it, it can go to the ends of the world, depending on, what it does. But back then there was no internet, right? So obviously, how the fame of Jesus spread was that one person would tell another person, right? One person would tell another person. This one would tell two people. One of these two people will tell somebody there, right? So it happened what? Gradually. Do you see that? Happened gradually. So it lets you know that the spread of death to men did not happen immediately. It was a gradual process. Hallelujah. Amen. Now why or how, right? If death is passing, imagine if you say there's a disease that is going from this row to that last place there. So this disease now starts spreading. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then it starts spreading. Let's say it's Ebola. The next thing you ask is, how is it spreading? Right? Now, it lets you know. It says, because all sinned. Do you see that? So, death will not be found in a man till he sins. Do you see that? The effect of Adam's sin cannot be immediate. It is eventual, but it's not immediate. Do you get that? Did you get that? Hallelujah. So it lets you know that the reason why death was spreading upon men, the reason why we have what is known as spiritual death, okay, is because men were now sinning by themselves. Not that what Adam did, the sin of Adam was now passing upon them one by one, one by one. No, they had to sin. Do you get that? Did you get that? Okay, now verse 13. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed. Do you see that? Where there is no law. Now, the word imputed here in the Greek is the word hulogio. 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 The last O has an accent. Hulogio is the word that means to charge to one's account. Okay? To lay to one's charge. To charge to one's account. Or to lay to one's charge. So, Paul lets us know that sin was not charged to men until the law. Do you see that? That is, men were sinning, but we could not identify that this was sin until the law came. So, in the law is the revelation of sin to man, right? Romans chapter 3 verse 20, he says that by the law is the knowledge of what? Sin. Right? Hallelujah. Now, please observe carefully. If you've been sleeping before, please wake up. Look at verse 14. Okay? It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Do you see that? So, sin was going on from Adam to Moses. But till Moses gave the law, it was not obvious that this was what sin was. Clear? Okay. And it says, who is a type of him who was to come? Hallelujah. He says, Adam was a type of him who was to come. Now, when you read this, it would now seem like Adam sinned. And Adam's sin now became the sin of humanity. Right? So if you are reading it with a preconceived notion, obviously, he sinned. His sin now became the sin of mankind. Now, somebody is now coming who will now do something that will be similar to what Adam did. Did you get what I just said? So, but that is not what Paul is saying here. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at your Bible, the word, I don't know the kind of Bible you have now, but let me just, to be safe, let me say, if you look at the original Greek, the word him is not present in this verse. Okay? I hope there's nobody scared that we are removing from God's word. Amen? The word him is not present in this text. So what the original say is, who is a type of was to come? Did you get that? Who was a type of was to come? Or who was a type of the coming? Okay? Who was the type of the coming? Now the word who here in the Greek is a word that either can be who or which. So, obviously, is which that should have been here, not who. Amen? If you put which there, would it make more sense? Look at it though. Would it make more sense? Look at verse 14 now. Ah, so people are looking at me. Look at what you are reading. Am I your Bible? Look at what you are reading. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, which is a type of the coming. Does it make sense? So what would he be referring to here? Would he be referring to Adam's sin as a type of what was to come, or referring to Adam as a type of someone who was to come? The long answer is always correct, Abby. Now look at it now. We are studying together, right? So look at it. Does it make sense that way? Because obviously you don't have to believe it because it is me that said it. You have to see it for yourself. So does it make sense that way? To say that Adam's sin is the type of what was to come. Not that Adam was a type of somebody that was to come. Some people are not even trying to get the answer. They're just saying, and they're writing it down. That's revelation. They are not even trying to look at it to see if it makes sense. You don't have to believe something because I said it. Now, look at it. Does it make sense? If it makes sense, let me see your hand. If you think it makes sense to say that it was Adam's sin that is the type, not Adam. If it does not make sense, let me see your hand. Yes, we are sitting on the fence. Humpty Dumpty sat on the fence and he had a great fall. Where are you? Amen. Where are you? Hallelujah. Where are you? Yeah? Does it make sense or it does not? So, if we say which, it would now be that, okay, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression. By seeing likeness here, it already lets you know what he's talking about, right? It says, of the transgression of Adam, which is a type of that which was to come. Hallelujah. So, in looking at this, you can now better understand verse 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The word come here in the Greek is the word melo. M-E-L-L. M-E-O-L-L. It's not like double L. L-L-O. Did you get that? It's a verb referring to what is sure to happen later on. Okay? It's a verb. It's like saying, which is a type of the coming. Like, something is going to happen. And Adam's sin will show us what will happen later. Did you get that? So, Adam's sin is a figure of others. Okay? What will surely happen as well. Hallelujah. Not Adam. Hallelujah. Now, the word type here, in verse 14, is the word tupos. T-U-P-O-S. It means a model. A model. A prefiguration. When you prefigure. A prefiguration or a pattern. Okay? That is, Adam's transgression will now form a model for how other sins will be. Did you get that? What he will do will now form a model for other sins which were to come. Hallelujah. Now, the word transgression also is the word parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. Parabasis. It implies a deviation from an original intent or pattern. Okay? It implies a deviation from an original intent or pattern. So we can say from Adam's deviation, right? So it would seem like what Adam did, or the sin of Adam, was that there was a pattern he was to follow, or there was something he should have done, but he deviated from it. Are we together? So there was something Adam should have done, but Adam, or there was an intent, or, and obviously this is not difficult to realize. When you see Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So there was a plan that God had in mind in making man, right? And we said yesterday that that plan would have been accomplished how? When man partook of the tree of the knowledge, tree of life, which is a picture of Jesus. Faith in what God said he would do, right? Right? But then Adam chose otherwise. He chose to find life in his own self, aside God's plan, aside God's intent. And in doing so, he found death. So when he says here that Adam's sin, or calls Adam's sin a deviation, do you understand now? Adam's sin is leaving an original intent to another. Hallelujah. Amen. So this therefore now shows us that Adam's sin formed a pattern. Not that Adam's sin became the sin of humanity. Is that clear? Now, to further understand this, look at verse 13 of the same text. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, what did Paul mean when he said sin is not imputed? Look at Romans chapter 4. We're coming back here. Romans chapter 4 verse 1. Romans chapter 1. Chapter 4, pardon me, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, now him there will be God, right? Who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Okay? Verse 9, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the seal of circumcision, is a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Remember, we looked at this yesterday, right? It says, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Okay? Now, see verse 4 to 8 again of the same text that we read. Look at Abraham. Paul uses Abraham as a character from the Old Testament to explain what righteousness is. And he says about Abraham that righteousness was imputed to him. Do you see that? Not Adam's sin. I thought Adam's sin passed on everyone. Right? But it tells you here that we see a man who is not called a sinner, but righteous. Hallelujah. So we see a man who did not follow in Adam's pattern. Do you see that? We see a man who did not follow in Adam's pattern. In Abraham, what we find is a pattern of faith. What we find is righteousness. Hallelujah. So he does not move in the same pattern that Adam did. Adam's sin was not imputed to Abraham. Hallelujah. But Abraham's faith unto righteousness. Did you get that? Did you get that? See verse 12. It says, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had. The word steps here in the Greek is the word ichnos. I-C-H-N-O-S. I-C-H-N-O-S. It simply means a principle. Okay? So we can say, but who also walk in the principle of the faith which our father Abraham had. Does that make sense? Or Abraham, pardon me, had. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? Okay. So, the principle that Abraham walked in was in principle of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So, anyone who believes does not have sin reckoned to him. Do you see that? Anyone that believes does not have sin reckoned to him. This was the pattern that Abraham set. Do you get that now? He set a principle of faith. Now, what did Adam set? Go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Hallelujah. Are you there? He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness. Do you see that? The word likeness here is the word homoioma. The same word we saw yesterday. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. Homoioma. It means a resemblance or a similitude. Okay? A resemblance or a similitude. Now, what principle did Adam set? Verse 9 now helps us. He says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now, the word disobedience here is the word parakoi. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. P-A-R-A-K-O-E. Parakoi. It means contrary hearing. Okay? It actually refers to a negative attitude to what is heard. So somebody hears something, and the person responds in unbelief. This was Adam's sin. Do you get it now? Unbelief. That was the pattern he set. So in the beginning, we had God meet Adam and tell Adam the message of the gospel. But Adam responded in unbelief. He was not persuaded about the message. Do you understand? So he now set this pattern for every other person after him. Hallelujah. Now, was everyone from Adam born sinner? No. Right? Now, let's look at his children, Cain and Abel. So we will know if they were born from him, right? So we know if they were sinners or not. Look at Abel. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are not visible. Verse 4. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was what? He was what? He was what? God testifying of his gift, and through it, him being dead still speaks. So, now see verse 39 of the same chapter. Before I say what I want to say. It says, all these having obtained what? A what? Good testimony through what? Faith. Did not receive the promise. God had, you know, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So, Abel obtained a good report. Do you see that? Although he was the son of Abel, he was called righteous. So, obviously, Adam's sin did not pass to him. Are we thinking together? Adam's sin did not pass to him. He was declared righteous by faith. He was justified. Hallelujah. Amen. So, obviously, if Abel did not receive his father's transgression, this already shows you that the reign of sin and death is not automatic. Right? Right? It has to be received for it to reign. Hallelujah. Do you see that? It has to be received for it to reign. So, Abel believed God and he was declared as righteous. Now, what about Cain? 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Are we there? It says, in these the children of God and children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil. And his brother's righteous. What was his brother's work? That was your righteousness. What was his brother's work? Faith, right? So, he says his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, observe verse 12. He says that Cain was of the wicked one. And remember what we said earlier on, that the devil, when he says he's of the wicked one, it means that he submitted his thoughts to the influence of the devil. So Jesus Christ lets us know that when you see men who exercise unbelief in the message, it's because there is something going on in their hearts. There is a bondage in their hearts. There's an influence in their minds. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So why was Abel accepted? Because he offered goats. And then Cain offered rotten tomatoes. I remember when we were much younger, they told us that was why God accepted Cain, accepted Abel, and he rejected Cain. Because Abel offered, you know, the best of his goats. He brought the fattest of all of them, the one he had fed very well. And then Cain now brought rotten tomatoes, you know, the one that they used to pour the water on the road. You know those ones, like, Ibadan people? You know what I'm talking about? Why are you acting all here than now? Lagos people too. You know, when they are going and then they splash it on you, then you are trying to think if you are in Christ or you are not in Christ. In Christ there's love, but maybe the old man should be resurrected for this time. So that's what some people think happened. But then, remember what I explained yesterday as well, that the epistles are the explanation of the scriptures, right? The Old Testament. So the epistles now explain that story to us. They re-explain it. They re-explain the story. And they say that Abel, or they said now, that Abel was accepted because of his faith. Not even, the issue was not sacrifice at all. Hallelujah. The issue was not ram or goat or tomato or pepper. The issue was what? Faith. Hallelujah. Are we together? So Abel believed, but Cain came with his own works. That's why he was rejected. Is that clear? Is that clear? So obviously, again, I've been saying obviously a lot. It should be obvious. We see an equal opportunity for man to either receive salvation or reject it. Do you see that? We see an equal opportunity for a man to either be called a sinner or to be called a righteous person. We see that in the offsprings of Adam. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So God gives an equal opportunity for man to choose. You know, God does not say that, oh, okay, because your father sinned, I'm angry with you, you will become a sinner. No. He gives you the choice. So we see that in Abel. Abel now chose faith and he was declared righteous. Cain chose the same thing his father did. The pattern. Do you remember? Which is what? A type of the coming. That is, you will see other people do the same thing he did. Cain walked in the same unbelief his father did. Claire. Hallelujah. So, Cain was not born a sinner, but he walked in Adam's footsteps to be made a sinner. Hallelujah. So far we've seen that, right? Right. Hallelujah. So a man is not a sinner till he exercises unbelief in God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. So spiritual death is not immediate. It happens over time. That's clear. I believe. Now, do you understand Romans chapter 5? Very well. Can you explain it to someone else now? Is it clear? Nobody inherited Adam's sin. Okay? Now, if you see all of this, then there's another question, because in theology, there's what we call conclusion, conclusion, then implication. So whatever you conclude has an implication, right? So if you now say that Adam's sin, like some people say, are you not saying, they are you not saying society? So you say, are you not saying that, if Adam's sin did not make us sinners, what now, what happened to children? Amen. Or, what happened to babies? Where do babies now go? Right? So if, because now there is a very, very strange explanation. Because I read white. You understand? It's something I do personally. As a person and in Christ, I just love to read, you know, read and read. So, when I see something from God's word, I don't just, you know, I think if you were around last year, I explained this to you, that if I see something from God's word, and I'm going to look for opposing, things on what I've seen from God's word, and see if what I've seen can withhold what I've seen that is opposite. You understand that? Okay. I deliberately look for oppositions to what I teach to ensure that what I teach can withstand opposition. That's what I do. I don't teach anything without doing that. Because if you are teaching God's word and you've studied well and you've thought well, or you've what you're saying is truth. Truth should not be, you should not be able to arise an opposition that can withstand truth, right? So once there's something that can come up that can withstand truth, it's no longer truth. It's falsehood. You understand? That's what I just do. I'm just saying. I don't expect you to do that, but that's what I just do. It's weird, I know, but it's what I do. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you say, what happens to babies? Okay? When babies die, where do they go? Now, there's this very funny theology that is called Calvinism. Calvinism tried to explain this, and Calvinism said that You know, Calvinism believes that God has chosen everybody that is saved and will be unsaved. So from the beginning of the world, God did something. He said, in my own sovereignty. So in sovereignty. And I said, oh, you are saved. You are not saved. You are saved, you are not saved. You are saved, you are not saved. You will never be saved, you will be saved. You will never be saved, you will be saved. You will never be saved, you will be saved. You will never be saved, you will be saved. You will never be saved, you will be saved. Hallelujah. In his sovereignty, his mightiness, you know, he just looked at the world and he looked at some certain set of people. So he predestined them, that's the word they use, he predestined them unto salvation. So see the funny explanation that they now give. They said that since God has predetermined already those who will be saved and those who will not be saved, babies who he has, obviously babies will be included now, right? So those he predestined not to be saved will now go to hell immediately they die. Do you understand what I just said? So a baby that did not do anything wrong, his only crime was to be born, his mother now aborts him. He will not go and say, sorry, that's your luck. In my own servant, I have appointed you unto hell. That one, you will not say. So immediately he dies and, next year, soteria. I just thought about something. So immediately he dies. You know, they just take him. But yeah, this is the cradle in hell. So Satan is in rock, bye baby, let's read it up. When the wind blows, I cradle you before. So because God had determined beforehand that this one is hell. No, that's rubbish. You know now, you know by now, that's nonsense. That does not make any, it's not logical. And the faith is logical. So what about children? Let's look at a few things. Are we ready? Then we close for this session. Are we ready? Let's look at children now. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 20. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Are we there? Are we there? I'll wait for you. Are we there? Exodus chapter 20 verse 5. Are we there? It says, you shall not bow to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Hallelujah. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So here we see God telling the children of Israel that if you sin, I will punish your children to the third and fourth generation. Why are you smiling? Do you know something? I don't know. Why are you smiling? He says, if you sin, I will punish your children to the third and fourth generation. So the innocent people, they're not doing anything. The only thing, their only crime in this world was to be born to you. So your sin is not imputed to them. So when you are born, God will not be looking. Okay, you sin. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. Okay. You sin. Okay, you sin. 1, 2, 3, 4. He kills them because you sinned. That's what God said now, have you? Although it's not written in red. But it was God talking. It's interesting that the words of God are not in red. Okay, let me look. So, it says, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Now, this is not going to be a problem if you understand what I explained earlier. That in the Old Testament, the nature of God was not understood. Do you remember that? Hebrews chapter 1, right? 1 and 2. God who in sundry times and diverse manner spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, right? But in these last days has spoken to us in his son, right? So in the Old Testament, when he says sundry times and diverse manners, it refers to fragments of the truth. That is, the truth was not really understood. There were fragments of truth, bits and pieces of the revelation of God in the Old Testament. So that means when you go to the Old Testament, you don't take everything there, hook, line, and sinker, that talks about the nature of God. You have to use what you've seen in Christ Jesus to explain what you see there. Is that clear? So in Jesus, you see Jesus, maybe Jesus was going and then Jesus saw a lame man, maybe one of those lame men, you know, there are plenty of them that came to him. Then he said, I cannot heal you. Jesus, where can't you heal me? Your third grandfather sinned against God. So I am visiting his sin to the third and fourth generation. Did Jesus do that? Aha! So you see, obviously, this needs explanation. How many of you agree? It needs an explanation, right? Now, follow closely. The word visiting, when it says visit, is judgment. Oh, amen. When it says I visit your sin, is judgment. Hallelujah. Now, see Ezekiel. The knowledge of God in the Old Testament evolved. It evolved. He went from bad to slightly bad. Why laughing? From bad to slightly bad then. Almost not bad. Something like that. Ezekiel chapter 18. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Now, Ezekiel now corrects Moses. Do you see that? He corrects what Moses said. He says, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the children have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? It's like saying today, if I'll use today, the father has eaten pomo and it is the teeth of the child that is paining him. That is what the father did is sin in the child, right? Verse 3, as I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Do you see that? Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins will die. Not his son. Do you see that? Verse 5, but if a man is just, what will happen? And does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted his eye to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached, goes on, no, talks. Verse 9, if he has walked in my statutes and keeps my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live. Do you see that? That is, the sin of the father will not come on the child. Hallelujah. See verse 10. It says, if he begets a son who is a robber, a shedder of blood, who does any of these things and does none of his duties, but has eaten in the mountain, then it goes on, he explains all the evil things, sir. Goes on, that's not our business. Goes on. Verse 14. If, however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which the father has done and considers, do you see that? But does not do likewise. Do you see that? Now go on. He mentions all the sins. Verse 17. He says, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor and has not received usury, bribe, or increase, and has executed my judgment and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. Do you see that? He shall surely live. As for his father, because he has cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for the iniquity of his father. For who? His iniquity. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right. Do you see that? Okay. And has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. Hallelujah. So obviously, God is not visiting the sins of the fathers on their children. You know, you go to a preacher and then he tells you, the reason why you are not making it in life is because your father sinned. He says, you know, your father committed a sin, so you have to pay a special seed. You bring corn. Amen. Or mango. Oh, he didn't get that. He says, bring a seed. And you have to bring money. Is seed money? Can you put money at the ground to grow? Big corn! Go and buy a bag of corn. Bring it for him. Hallelujah. Raw corn. Amen. That's seed. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? So, obviously, there can be nothing like generational curses. Do you see that now? There's nothing like a father's sin and then his child is now suffering the pain. So you have to go and wash your head 3 times in a river so that the pain will go, so that all the generational curses will go. There's nothing like that. Hallelujah. Are we together? Look at verse 19 again. It says, yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right. Can we say this is Abel? Abel, right? And has kept all my statutes, faith, right? And observe them, and he shall surely live. Live in Christ, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So obviously, if the son does not follow in the footsteps of the father, the footstep of the father won't affect him. That's clear. Right? Jeremiah 31. So can we say Ezekiel corrected Moses? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29. Hallelujah. Are we there? He says, in those days, they shall say no more. The father has eaten sour grapes. Do you remember this? And the children's teeth are set on edge. For everyone shall die for his own iniquity. You see that again? Every man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. You see that again? So, it is the sin you commit that affects you, not your children. Hallelujah. Psalm 51. Now, it might affect your children. Right? Right? If you are somebody who is known as an evildoer in the society, people might do the same to your children. But that's not spiritual. Do you understand? It's a spiritual principle that God is always making. When a man should sin, his children will now, the sin will now transmute into, no. But whatever you sow physically, you will reap it. Do you understand? But that is not God. That is man with man. Right? In relationship with man, like Jesus Christ said, when Jesus Christ said, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. That's not talking about money at all. In the same context, it tells you that it's referring to judgment and mercy. A man who sows judgment will reap judgment. A man who sows mercy to another will reap mercy. Is that clear? But spiritually speaking, a man does not adopt spiritual death because his father sinned. Is that clear? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 31. Psalm 51, pardon me. I just thought to make that clear. Because somebody will say, okay, I can be sinning. It's not going to do anything to my children. It just might. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Psalm 51 verse 5. One of those very good verses that has been used to propagate. Sister Esther, why are you smiling? You've had experience with this verse. Hallelujah. He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Hallelujah. Now, we have a problem here. Because, what is David saying? Is David saying that, na inside, yamayama, my mama give it to me. My mama give it to me, sakatakata. Is that what he's saying there? That, okay, when my mom was giving birth to me, she gave it to me like this. From my mother's womb, no? From my mother's womb, you have chosen. So, from his mother's womb, he was a sinner. Please look at it. Look at the Bible. You just be thinking, as we are reading scripture, be thinking. Just be thinking. There is thinking in Bible study. Is that what David is saying? But he says, in sin, my mother conceived me. I was brought forth in iniquity. Hallelujah. So, what would he mean there? Obviously, again, this needs an explanation, right? Okay. Brought forth. the phrase is just one word in the Hebrew. It's the word kol. C-H-U-W-L. Kol. C-H-U-W-L. In the Hebrew. It means shaping. It actually refers to conception in the womb. Okay? Conception in the womb. Hallelujah. Are we together? He says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, conceive here in the Hebrew is yakam. Y-A-C-H-A-M. Yakam. Not nakamu. Yakam. It actually refers to mating. Okay? Mating. Or the copulative process. You don't need me to explain further than that. I believe. Why are you smiling? So it refers to the copulative process. So it says that. Okay. Now let's use what we've said. What we just said now. Let's now look at the text again and see if it makes any more sense. Okay? Behold, I was conceived in the womb of my mother in iniquity. Right? And in sin, my mother, or let me say it this way. What my mother did to give birth to me was in sin. Does that make sense? Look at your Bible now. Does it make sense? I was conceived in my mother's womb in iniquity. And it was in sin that my mother was able to give birth to me. The process that leads to a child being given birth to, my mother's own was in sin. Does it make sense? So, is this saying that he was born... Sorry, does it make sense before I go on? Are you sure? Because some people are still looking at this. Does it make sense? Okay, so does it mean that I was born as a sinner? What does it mean? What would it mean? Yeah. Calm down. Calm down. You're talking about the king of Israel. Calm down. Calm down. David, the prophet. Amen. What is he saying? Now, obviously, he's saying that the way my mother gave birth to me was in sin. Selah. Why do you think that among the sons of his father, David was the least treated? He was treated like an house boy. In fact, it was the one, while his brothers would go to war, the father said, yeah, go and go to the sheep, go to the sheep. Why do you think all of that was happening to David? Selah. Let me move. He that has a mind to understand should understand. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he's not saying I was born in sin, like I was born a sinner. Okay? The way I was born was in sin. Okay. Everybody looking at me. 2 Samuel chapter 12. But is that clear? Are you sure? Okay. 2 Samuel. Oh, before that, Psalm 139. Sorry about that. Psalm 139. We are closing already. Psalm 139. We're rounding off quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we there? Very popular verse again, right? You have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. Sorry, Psalm 139 verse 13. Did you get that? Now in verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. Now, some have now taken this text to say that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. There's even a song like that, haven't you? I am wonderfully made. I am wonderfully made. No. I belong to Jesus. You know that song? I resemble him. Hey, I'm wonderfully made.
I am prayerfully made that you, I belong to Jesus. I resemble him. That is why they had it. See what they had it. Where did they? That is why the devil, devil children say, I am wonderfully made. I am fearful. That is fearful. They said some sisters are fearfully made. Some are wonderfully made. I don't understand what that means. I don't understand. So, you know, Selah. So, hallelujah. You know, if you now go to the Hebrew and you look at what he said here, you know, this is a statement that only David could have made. You can't make it. Because the word wonderfully made and fearfully made in the Hebrew means the way I was born is different. Selah. With Psalm 51, Abi? Have you linked it together? So, the way I was born was not the way my brothers were born. Is that clear? Okay, let me run. Second Samuel. Hallelujah. Verse 12. I'm wonderfully made, prayerfully made. Hey, belong to Jesus. Resemble him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, David talking about his son. 2 Samuel 12, verse 9. He says, "What have you? Why have you despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" Remember this story, right? Bathsheba. You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife by your, you have taken his wife to be your wife. And have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Strong words. Because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes, and give them to your neighbor. Yea. And you shall lie with your, and you shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the son. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. The mercy of God, right? However, by this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die. Now see verse 23. Later the son died and all. In verse 23, David is now talking. He says, but now, he is dead, referring to the child, right? He says, why should I fast? Can I bring him back? Brilliant question. He says, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Do you see that? I shall go to the son, but he will not come back to me. Does this seem to imply that David knew where the son went? It's a question, though. Does it imply that David knew where the child went to after his death? And did David say that where the child went, he will go to? Romans chapter 9. Just something for you to think about. Romans chapter 9. It says, I know where he went to, and I will go there too. Okay? Romans chapter 9. Let's look at Jacob and Esau. Romans chapter 9 verse 10. Are we there? He says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac. Verse 11, for the children not yet being born. Do you see that? In the womb, right? In the womb, right? Okay. Not having done any good or evil. Hey, did you see that? That the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Now, the word conceived here in the Greek is the word koite. K-O-I-T-E, or koite. K-O-I-T-E. Please write that down. Koite. It actually refers to chambering a child in the womb. Okay? When you say a woman has conceived, when a child is still in the womb. He hasn't been born yet. Is that clear? Now, it refers to conception, not birth. But observe what it says in verse 11. It says, not having or not having done any good or evil. So, Paul lets us know that a child in the womb is what? Innocent, right? Neither good nor evil. It's not conceived with a sin nature. Neither does he have a sin nature in the womb. What can the child do in the womb that will make him a sinner? He'll be boxing the mother, what? Or be pinching her womb. Or be biting his umbilical cord. That's a weird child. But obviously, a child does nothing in the womb. So he is born neither what? Good nor evil. Remember what I said. He is born innocent with the free will to choose either of the two. Clear? Clear? Are we together? See what Jesus said about children. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Matthew chapter 19, we're reading from verse 13. Hallelujah. It says, Then little children were brought to him, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Verse 14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. There's a song like this. Do you know it? Let the children come, let the children come, children come to me. Do not forbid them, do not forbid them. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't know these songs, we can guess when you were born again. You are a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. It says, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you see that? Of such. Now, is it saying here? Or let me not say, is it saying here? What is he saying here? Rather, let me not give you the answer. What will he be saying here? He says, of such, of children, is the kingdom of heaven. What is it about children that he's talking about? Because it says, of such, right, is the kingdom of heaven. So, pointing to what? There was a division in the camp. The believing Jews, the unbelieving Jews. What? What? Oh God. What was he pointing to? Innocence, right? Look again at chapter 18 of the same book, verse 4. Chapter 18, verse 4. He says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, do you understand now? Is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus associates little children with innocence. John chapter 9, verse 1. John chapter 9, verse 1. You know this famous story? Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, right? And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? Very funny question. How can he sin? You would think that because they were moving with Jesus, they would ask more intelligent questions. But that shows you that you don't judge a man by his disciples. Selah. Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now Jesus now answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must do the works of him who sends me. Do you understand? Not that God made him blind so that his works can be revealed, right? But that the works of God, now the verse threw us off balance and the full stop there. That was a bad translation and a bad versing. He says, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, I must do the works of him who sent me. So the glory of God will be revealed how? in the work that Jesus will do, which is what? To heal him. Clear? So, but look at what Jesus Christ says. He says, neither this man sinned. So it's impossible for a child to sin from the womb. That's clear, right? First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Hallelujah. He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. Verse 20. However, in malice be babes. Or be babies. Did you get that? But in understanding, be mature. So, Paul says that, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 20. Paul says that children are innocent. So he uses that analogy in malice. Okay? He says the way a child is innocent when it comes to malice, he does not know anything. Do you understand? Now you, be like that. Okay? Okay? Now, an innocent person is one that cannot be declared guilty. Please write that down. An innocent person is one who cannot be declared guilty. Now, why would that be? Because for you to be declared guilty, in law, we have what is called mens rea and actus rea. Mens rea or actus rea refers to the act. When, let's say, somebody commits murder, we say that is actus rea. He did it, right? Mens rea will now refer to his mind, what we call guilty mind. Was his mind evolved? So that's when the lawyer will now start to prove that, no, you know, he committed murder, but when the people say lawyers are liars, we agree. You know, you say, well, he was provoked, you know, provocation. Or you say, it was self-defense. Or you say it was insanity or intoxication, you know. Just to lower the sentence more. Amen. So, a man, now, why do lawyers do that? Because they know that in the eyes of the law, a man not in his normal senses when he performed an action cannot be held liable. Do you get that? So same with a child. He is innocent in his mind. He does not know anything. So the child might even steal. Do you understand? In fact, in law, there's another thing again, what we call infant, what's it called again? Under contract, have you? Infant Relief Act, whereby a child cannot enter a contract because it's believed that a child is not in the right capacity of mind to do so. So, it's obvious that a child is seen as somebody who does not have the right frame of mind in his actions. Do you get that? And God is not unjust. Hallelujah. So, you cannot fail an exam that you never wrote. You understand what I just said? You cannot fail an exam that you never wrote. Same thing with a madman. Same thing with somebody who never heard the gospel. Okay? You cannot say you did not believe when there was nothing to believe on. Is that clear? Hallelujah. So, let me run. Let me just leave that fast. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Hallelujah. He says, but then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you see that? So what judgment is man giving account of himself to God, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. He says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Okay? So in judgment, there is accounting. You will say why you did what you did. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Are we there? He says, but I say to you that of every idle word men may speak, they will what? Give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, to give account means you have the capacity to be able to. It means you are responsible for your thoughts and your actions. And obviously, children do not have this capacity, right? So, these Bible texts don't apply to children. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? It does not apply to children. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Jonah chapter 4. Jonah
chapter 4, verse 10. Are we there? He says, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than, now pay attention, 120,000 persons, that's a whole lot, right? Who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. So, these people here, can you say an adult cannot discern between his right hand and his left hand? No. So obviously this is a child, right? He says he cannot discern between his right hand and his left. So he is unaccountable. Hallelujah. That's why destruction cannot come on him. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 32. Hallelujah. Are we there? Verse 32. He says, yet for all that you did not believe your Lord, the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tent, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath saying, surely, now please pay very close attention. He says, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give your fathers. You remember this story? The 12 spies going to Jericho, right? And when some came back with an evil report. You remember the story? Verse 36. Except Caleb the son of Jephunne, he shall see it, and to him and his children I am given the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Now verse 39. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That is, you thought that your actions would make them victims too. Did you get that? Did you get that? Okay. Who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in. Do you understand that? To them I will give it and they shall possess it. Why? Because there was unbelief in Israel. But these children never had the capacity to either exercise unbelief or faith. Clear? So the judgment coming on those who exercise unbelief in the promise of God, it won't affect those who never had the capacity to. Remember what I said, you cannot fail an exam you never wrote. Hallelujah. Well, it depends on the university anyways. Promise, carry over. But I think you understand what I mean. Amen. You cannot be graded. Okay, let me say that. You cannot be graded for an exam you never took. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Do you see that? Remember the evil, you know, they all committed unbelief and all of that. And Joshua says the same thing in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, verse 5. Hallelujah. Are we there? Joshua chapter 5 verse 5. It says, for all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. Verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 days in the wilderness. So all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed. Now why? Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers that he would give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 7.
Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not been circumcised on the way. Verse 8. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in the places in the camp till they were healed. Do you see that again? So, it lets you know that when it comes to a child, or when it comes to an infant, there is lack of capacity. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now, I've not said that this is God giving children a liberty to do as they please and say, well, you don't know what you are doing, so it's fine. No. But I've said that God is just. Hallelujah. And I said all of that to let you know that no man is born that way. Do you understand now? No man is born that way. No man is born a sinner. No man is born in unbelief. No man is born, a doubter of God's word. But by his own free will, he uses or he exercises his free will to either accept or reject what God has promised. But you know the truth, God has given man a free will, and that's why you can't force an unsaved man to be saved. You can only try. You can only do what God does, which is to persuade, right? Which is to beg, which is to plead with, right? But you can never force a man against his will to have faith in what God has provided. Man has a choice. Hallelujah. Man has a choice. But let me say this too, that the choice of man is relative. Okay? Because God has given man a choice, but God expects that man exercises his free will based on his will. Okay? So, you have a free will, but the will is free, but it's not really free like that. Because God expects that you exercise that free will to do what he wants, not what you want. Hallelujah. So, man had that free will right from Genesis. Adam did. Cain did. Abel did. The children of Israel did. Moses did. In fact, let me say this as well. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Jesus could have chosen to sin, or he could have chosen not to. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is common with man is free will. God never imposes his will on man. Hallelujah. Amen. So man will have a choice. And we said that right from the beginning, God's will was his life in man. God's will was to have man live with his own life. Because man was given a free will. But he's not really free like that though. He needs to now look for life in God. So if a man exercises free will, and that free will is in himself, you know he's making a mistake. Do you know that? What we call unbelief. He's making a mistake because he is looking to himself to get what God will give man freely. Hallelujah. So, Adam rejected this in the garden. That's the tree of life. He looked to himself and exercised his free will in unbelief. But do you know what? God's plan never changed. Hallelujah. He never changed. Right from Genesis down till Malachi, till the four gospels, till Jesus came in the flesh, he continued in that plan. Hallelujah. Amen. He continued in that plan. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. That man would one day be seen as having the very life of God. Hallelujah. He now became a man. Hallelujah. Then he showed us what free will is supposed to be used for. Hallelujah. Praise God. He now submitted his free will to the utterances of the scriptures. Hallelujah. The scripture said he would die. He died. Hallelujah. The scripture said he would be buried. He was buried. Hallelujah. The scripture said he would be raised. The third day he was raised. Hallelujah. Amen. He now used his free will in the direction of God's will. Hallelujah. And in doing that, his message is now a second chance to mankind. Do you get that? What Adam rejected, God now gave man a second chance again. That, okay, what you rejected in the garden, now I'm giving you again. What is that second chance? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. A man that believes this now receives what Adam rejected. Hallelujah. So, how many of us have believed? How many of us have believed here? You know what you have right now? You have the life of God. Hallelujah. that very life of God, that very essence of God, that life that man was created to live by, you now have it in you. Hallelujah. I remember what we said. We said that when a man lives, when a man lives, when a man lives, when a man lives without God, you know, you can adapt, but he's tending to death. He's tending to death. But for the man in Christ, he's always tending to life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Life, 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 life. No more death. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in Christ, we have his life. We have his life. We have his life. We have his life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Lift your hands, give him praise. Lift your hands, give him praise. Hallelujah. With our hands lifted up, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Hallelujah.